Now, it's only going to be a brief word this morning because we've got communion as well. But the message the Lord has laid on my heart is the second half of the chapter that was read earlier in our service, Exodus 17, Aaron and Hur supporting God's servant, Moses, as he's holding up the rod of God, and Joshua and the army are fighting the Amalekites below. I think there's something lovely in two additional elders, Michael and Nathan, who will be ordained to the eldership and the ministry of the word in May. An Aaron and a Hur to the body of elders. And the eldership is already doing what Aaron and Hur are doing, but having two extra. So we shouldn't think that two is an insignificant number. There's something very beautiful about it. Now, I've just got 3 points this morning, and I'll go through them as quickly as I can on this event. The first is Amalek. Amalek. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've been redeemed by the mighty hand of God. And not long after their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, they meet opposition. It's the Amalekites who are the descendants of Esau. So Esau and Jacob were always fighting each other. And this is the first enemy that the children of Israel meet. And it's interesting that they are attacking them. In Deuteronomy, we're told they're attacking the rear flank. They're attacking those who are weak, those who are struggling. There's something very cruel, isn't there, about kicking somebody who is down. And there's something cowardly about what the Amalekites are doing to the children of Israel. But we are being taught here that when we are converted, it's not a physical battle that we are involved in, right? Some Christians give the impression that they want to fight physically. No, it's a spiritual battle. And the enemy, the Amalekites, is a picture of the three enemies that we are facing. And we're not going to give up the fight until we get into glory. The three enemies are the flesh, the world, and the devil. And if you are new to the Christian faith, you will very soon realize that it's going to be a battle. And we are not here to play, but to fight. And it's not a physical, but a spiritual battle. We're not here to fight against other religions. We're not here to force things, a Christian agenda. We're here to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil in the power of the Lord. We're fighting principalities and powers of darkness headed by Satan himself. So are you aware that you're in a spiritual battle? Are you always battle ready? You know, during the Second World War, how many of you were alive during the Second World War, I wonder? You were told to watch, weren't you? To be careful what you said, to live as if you were on the front line. And we need to remember that as believers. Christians, seek not yet rest, repose. Cast your dreams of ease away. So that's the first point, Amalek. We're in a battle. As soon as we forget that, we're already backsliding. We should take encouragement, incidentally, when we are being attacked spiritually. How many attacks this church has known over the decades. I take great encouragement from that, because it shows that the devil is worried. When you've got a gospel preaching church, when you've got a people who wants to live holy lives, when you've got a church that is active in taking the gospel out, then the devil is not going to give that church a rest. So take encouragement. So the second point, Joshua and Moses. We're in a spiritual battle, and we're trusting in God alone, but that doesn't mean to say that we don't use means. So here are the children of Israel meeting the Amalekites, and the battle is in the valley. So Moses, as the leader, calls on Joshua, his right-hand man, to call men that are able to fight to go into combat against the enemy. So that's the valley. Joshua is fighting with all his might. And then Moses goes up to the mountaintop, as we saw in the picture, and he holds up the rod of God. The rod is significant, because that's the same rod with which he did the miracles before Pharaoh. It's the same rod he extended before the Red Sea opened. That rod of Moses, my friends, speaks of the presence of God with his people. That's why I started the service with Isaiah 51. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. It only takes God to extend his arm of power, his arm of mercy, for there to be spiritual victories. Isn't that encouraging? God can intervene when we don't expect him to. So Moses is praying. The presence of God is absolutely vital to the spiritual fights. Not only can we not go forward one step without God's presence, we can't win a single victory. But notice, even though we are utterly dependent on God, Joshua still has to fight. Moses still has to pray. And fighting and praying are activities, aren't they? I know last Sunday evening we noted that to pray without ceasing is having an attitude of prayer, but there's an activity involved in prayer. Let me read some verses. I don't want to stay for too long on these verses. If you've got a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm applying this spiritually to us now. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What's the weapon of our spiritual warfare? Interestingly, there's only one weapon of offense, and it's the sword of the spirits. It's a mighty sword. There's none like it. What is the sword of the spirits? Ephesians 6. Shall I read these verses? Yes, I will. They're worth reminding ourselves of. I know it was the reading last Sunday evening, and I'm not very good at using this sword. There was a game that was played in Sunday school where the children were asked to unsheath the sword to find the verses. Maybe I should have been doing that. Here it is, Ephesians 6, finally, verse 10. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes through the different items of the armor, and he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what comes next? Praying always with the weapon of all prayer, Bunyan, and supplication in the Spirit. So Joshua is down in the valley with the sword. My friends, we need to be using the sword of the Spirit more. I think we've lost confidence in the West as churches in the Bible, as the Word of God. One thing that strikes you when you visit churches in parts of the world where there is a greater measure of blessing, even if they don't have our privileges, they're big on the Word of God. They're big on prayer. Those two things. Joshua down in the valley, we down in the valley with the Word. We haven't got another weapon that is offensive. And then the weapon of all prayer. We need both. What Oliver Cromwell used to say to his soldiers in the Civil War is so important, isn't it? Trust God and keep your powder dry. We need Joshua fighting and Moses praying. What did we sing? Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Restraining prayer, said Cooper, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright. You see, God is the difference between victory and defeat. And as long as Moses held up his hands and the rod of God, victory was seen. We need God, don't we? Remember Ted Donnelly preaching in Aber, talking about people that were coming up to him and asking him, what have you got in your church for young people? What have you got in your church for students? What have you got in your church for old people? What have you got in your church for families? What have you got in your church for single people? I can say that. And Ted Donnelly would just shake his head and say, we need God. Whether we're young or old, single or married, we need God. That's what prayer says. I need thee. Every hour I need thee, especially in the spiritual battle. F.B. Meyer has quotes which I find very applicable to us as we are an older eldership, but let us not despise that. This is what F.B. Meyer says. It is a most beautiful picture. Three old men in prayer. Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Two holding up the third. In earlier days, Moses would never have thought of winning a battle save by fighting. Now he learns that he can win it by praying. I think we need to learn that lesson. We need to learn to pray. Teach us to pray. So Moses and Joshua, both are needed. Let me just give you another quote. We really are going through this very quickly this morning. There's more here than the spiritual fight in terms of us, whether as individuals or as churches, that there is a big picture here, isn't there? There is our Joshua. Who is our Joshua? Jesus Christ, our deliverer. Onward march, all conquering Jesus, gird thee on thy mighty sword. So even when we're wielding the sword of the Spirit, it's Jesus Christ we're placarding before people. Moses built an altar after this victory, and he called it Jehovah Nissi. As we've been learning in Bible doctrines, that means the Lord my banner. What's the banner of the church? What's the royal standard? It's the gospel, isn't it? I said I would try and bring the gospel in. What is the good news? What is the raison d'etre of the church? It's a cross. That's how the victory is won. What the Emperor Constantine saw at the Miletus Bridge, which, according to the historians, turned him to Christianity, was the eve of the battle. He saw a cross in a vision. And the words, whether it was audible or written, I can't remember, by this you shall be victorious. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ that's the good news. We can't deliver ourselves from the bondage of sin. We need Jesus Christ to do it. Our Joshua, the deliverer, and God became one of us 2,000 years ago in order to do that, in order to go to a cross and taking our sins in his own body on the tree, taking the wrath of God so that we could be forgiven. He has opened the door to a heavenly Canaan, and we are trusting in that. That's the gospel. So that's the banner. So if the church is to be fighting, it's not through force, it's through preaching this wonderful gospel. And of course, Moses is also a picture of Christ. Moses interceding for the people. Spurgeon's got a beautiful quotation. Never become cowardly and mean. Never despair, Christian. How can we? Christ at your head like Joshua, and Christ in heaven like Moses. Christ here with the Holy Gospel in his hand like a two-edged sword, and Christ in heaven with his atoning merits like a wonder-working rod. Be strong and very courageous, and by his help he shall yet send us the shout of hallelujah. So, Joshua and Moses. And then thirdly and finally, Aaron and her. This is the relevance to our ordination service this morning. Moses, as God's leader, is getting tired. It's tiring work leading God's people. So in the next chapter, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, advises him to deputize. And that's a hard lesson for many pastors to learn, but important. But here, the beautiful picture of eldership is he's got Aaron and Hur holding up his hands and his arms. And to me, that's one of the most moving pictures of the work of an elder. Interestingly, we don't read of Joshua's hands becoming tired in the fighting, but we read of Moses' hands becoming tired in prayer. Isn't prayer the hardest work? One Puritan said, I'd rather die often than pray. Do you know what? Ministry is front line. That's why we've got to pray for our pastors. Should it surprise us if we hear of so many pastors in our Reformed evangelical circles falling? Think of some of the big guns in the United States that have fallen in recent years. Should it surprise us if they're not being upheld by prayer? We're on the front line, so the devil will want to attack those on the front line. It's an awesome privilege to stand in the pulpit to wield the sword of the Spirit, but it's also wearisome. And God has provided support, help. I think that was the idea behind the old Set Vowed. We've taken ours off, thankfully. But in the old denomination, there would have been a big seat where the platform is, and in that seat, there would have sat the blaenoriaid, the elders and the deacons, and they would all have looked so serious. And during the singing of the hymns, they would face the congregation. I was always scared of them when I was brought up in the Presbyterian chapel back home. But the idea, surely, is in the symbolism of the big seats. They are there to hold up the preacher, to hold him up. So the elders, pastors and elders, we're all on the front line in one sense. We're here to lead you as the Lord leads. We're here to look after you spiritually. There are deacons then to look after the more physical side of things. And we all look out for one another, as we've been learning in Thessalonians. But we're thinking in particular this morning of those who have been set apart to use the sword, to minister the word. I'm thinking of the early church and the apostles saying, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. There it is again, Moses and Joshua. As I come to a conclusion, let me just read another quote from Spurgeon. Michael, it's a great privilege, but also it's a great responsibility to look after this flock, to join our team, and to uphold, to hold up me, Andy, and Nathan, to hold up our arms. Listen to what Spurgeon says. I wish that some of our pastors were sustained as they should be by their Aaron and hers. Alas, says Spurgeon, I know many a fainting brother whose hands are hanging down, who finds an Aaron not to hold them up, but to pull them lower still, and a her to depress his spirits yet more. I have to thank God and to thank you that so many of you are like Aaron and her and are willing to hold up the pastor's arms. May God enable you, Michael, to support the ministry of the word. I like to think the elders are here to help myself, Andy and Nathan, to help keep us in the pulpits. Because a church of this size, we the three of us ministers, we could be just spending all of our time visiting. I really love visiting the flock. But it wouldn't be right, would it, if those set apart to minister the word were spending so much time visiting that they weren't giving themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. What a wonderful God we have to provide order of government, to provide not just ministers, but to provide elders. Because elders are human, ministers are human, and we can all get discouraged. And it's so good to have brothers in arms in the battle who will not drag you down, not depress you, but whisper in your ear, brother, may God bless you as you go into the pulpits. Brother, we're thinking of you. Brother, thank you for that sermon. Are we encouragers of God's ministers? As we're seeing young men being called to the ministry, I'm determined to be an encourager of them. And we're all a team, so we're all supporting each other as pastors and elders. And we're all in this together. And I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what battles will lie ahead. There will be battles because we are in the Lord's army. But may we know the sword of the spirits being wielded. That's what the devil wants to stop. And may we as well be prayers. And may we all seek to uphold one another, but may especially the ministers be upheld, and pray for the pastors of our land. They, instead, as many are feeling discouragement, they may know Aaron and hers holding them up for his name's sake. Now let us sing together, Onward March, All Conquering Jesus. This is the key. Gird thee on, thy mighty sword. May Jesus march in this day and age. It's 465.
Oh.
So, Father in heaven, we praise thee for our blessed Saviour, and we thank thee that the head of the church has ordained government as well to look after the family of God. And we do thank thee for our pastors and elders and deacons, and also what a privilege to have church workers and each member. O Lord our God, may we be a body indeed. And whatever member we are in terms of gifts, we just pray that we would play our parts. And we're remembering especially the eldership. We thank thee for each elder and for the three pastors, or two and the pastor-elect. And we just pray, O God, that thy hand will be mighty amongst us. Lord, the devil doesn't want an unified eldership, and we're praying that we would know that sweet unity in the Spirit, that this eldership would be a praying eldership, and especially that those who minister the word will just be lifted. Lord, just draw near to us, and may there be a jubilee indeed in the months and the years ahead. And we thank thee, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. In his name, amen.